Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review the Bumblebee movie prequel comic issue 4. Paramount Pictures declares that Transformers Bumblebee is solidly profitable, and a new commercial for Walmart features everyone's favorite Bumblebee. Today is Friday, January 18th, 2019, and this is episode 112 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
How are you now? My name is Arish, and I host the Letterkenny Podcast at letterkennypodcast.com. It's about the hit streaming show Letterkenny, available in Canada on Crave and in the US on Hulu. Now, if you're not able to get those services, you really should listen to the podcast, where I go through each episode, give a synopsis, my review, plus some interesting facts about each episode. I even go through some of the show-specific terms you might not be familiar with, like Tilly Time or a Donnybrook. You can learn what it takes to have a super soft birthday party, or what even those two guys did with the ostrich, allegedly. Anyways, we just finished season one. As a result, we're celebrating by having a Twitter contest, and we are giving away the Letterkenny DVD collection, which contains seasons 1 to 5, plus 3 bonus episodes. So pitter-patter and get at her, subscribe to the Letterkenny Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. You can reach me on Twitter, at LetterkennyPod, or at LetterkennyPodcast.com. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to distribute some free literature.
That commercial was so fucking pathetic, bud, you gotta give your balls a tug. Fuck you, Sharzy.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's a prequel to nothing. I'm your host, Daryl, a.k.a. the Cybertronian Beast, and I'm joined by the most excellent Transmissions team, Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how you doing? Let's talk Transformers.
That's right. Yo! So we're going to get right into it here with some donations, which we have none of. And that's a shame, people. Nobody wants to donate. I guess Yoshi's just not doing it anymore. I don't know what to say.
We have better luck when he's on the show.
Apparently. Maybe, I mean, we need the donations because, I mean, it's only the middle of the month right now, but the end of the month is coming and Russian Yoshi will be back to collect.
So maybe we can threaten it if you don't want him to show up.
We will be visited by a Russian Yoshi. We do have merch. Buy some merch. It's cool. It's comfy. It's beautiful. It's our merch. And
where is that?
Oh, yeah. You can visit it at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. That's a pretty good store. It's a pretty kick-ass merch. Let's get the show started, okay?
Yeah.
Comics news.
Charles is going to fire us.
Take it away.
All right.
Oh, my God. Tragic,
but okay.
Yep.
All right. We got a couple things in comic news this week. We have a couple more cover previews from the new IDW Transformers comic series. The first one we have, this is an image of Optimus, Bumblebee, looks like Chromia, and Megatron in the background, like a bad 80s image. And this is done by Freddie Williams II, who's worked on the Batman TMNT crossover, and Andrew Dalhouse, who has also worked for DC and Valiant. And when I first saw this, I thought Fico Asio, because it was kind of the style that he had with the, I don't know, just the way that things looked. But, you know, I found that it wasn't Fico. But what do you think of this image, Daryl?
I don't like it. It's stylized for sure. You can definitely tell who's who, so that's important. Prime looks like he's too shiny in weird spots.
It looks like he's like melting.
Yeah, it's like he's all dented or something. It's, I don't know. And it, like, you can see the faction symbol on Prime's shoulder, but then Bumblebee or Chromia don't seem to have one. And typically Bumblebee would have it on his chest. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt and that it might not be there, but it would be somewhere on these other two. And the only thing that I can think of is that that this artist is not comfortable drawing the symbol yet, because guess what? The Autobot symbol is difficult to draw.
Well, also, the series is supposed to start off pre-war, so maybe they
maybe, I guess. Autobots sure. Yet. Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that.
I mean, we don't know.
Yeah, that's a good reason. Okay, sure. No, I'll give you that.
I only say that because the next image we have also has Bumblebee with no faction symbol.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Let's go on to the next one. This is by an artist named Cachet, and doesn't look like they have any other previous published work that I was able to find. So this might be, you know, their big break or one of their breaks into the industry. But it's an image of Bumblebee with a spooky shockwave kind of in the shadows behind him.
Soundwave?
Spooky soundwave. Soundwave behind him. And I really like this image, particularly a lot better than the other one. This is a more kind of traditional, you know, looking Bumblebee and Soundwave head. It looks like they're in kind of a crystal cavern or something. So, you know, out of the two, I really prefer this one.
I'd have to agree.
The other one is going to have a foil variant, so that might be part of the issue too. They're going all out.
That's awesome.
So, so we'll have a link to these. Let's see, this Bumblebee one is cover 5B, if that tells you anything. They're gonna have a ton of variants for these first issues. And to go along with these covers, we have the title of the first arc. Writer Brian Ruckley has shared a picture of the beginning of his script. And the title is The World in Your Eyes, Part 1 of 5. And Daryl and I have talked a few days ago about this. Neither of us were fans of like the Lost Light and Optimus Prime reboots, where they were like 7-part initial arcs. So at least 5 is shorter, I guess. But here's hoping they you know really knock it out of the park.
Yeah, here's hoping. 5 issues is, I mean, that's a trade, right?
Yeah.
So they need to hit the ground running here. They've got a like absolute brand new like creative teams here. We've been doing this for a lot of years now, and even beforehand we've been, you know, reading and collecting Transformers comics. I don't know who any of these people are, you know. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I won't like their stuff, but I just have nothing to go on. So these opening arcs and opening, you know, few pages, they need to really, really catch me, you know, and you know, grab hold of the imagination, because I was getting bored with the last stuff. So I'm eager to see what they've got. 5 issues is ambitious in my mind. I would have liked to have them maybe done a 2-parter or a 3-parter as a start to just kind of introduce everyone and, you know, to get everything kind of going.
Although you did say that it's a trade. So, you know, maybe they're thinking in terms of that.
Of course they are.
You can tell your whole story in one big trade.
Yeah, of course they are. So,
and then you run into the issues with, you know, where does the issue end? Are you able to tell a complete, you know, story in each issue that contributes to the overall arc?
Yep. So that's going to be the big question for me. Some of the problems that the last writers had were the middle of these arcs were just boring. Nothing happened. So the story would die in those middle issues. You can't, I mean, if you're starting from scratch here, you can't have, you know, book 3, you know, just have a story die on you. It needs to be, You need to start at issue 1 and go to 5 and just be bang, 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 and be done, you know? It needs to be really good and attention-grabbing. So I'm a little worried to seeing the part 1 of 5,
mm-hmm.
but I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to buy them all because that's what I do. Yeah. So, and we're getting 2 a month, so it's going to be quick. We're going to get through these 5 yeah, really fast.
A month and a half.
And yeah, so let's see what Brian's got.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, he comes from like novels and stuff. So, you know, like I said, we got to give him the benefit of the doubt until we see his work. Mm-hmm. So fingers crossed and, you know, March is coming up soon. All right. So I guess let's move into our comic review.
Yes, let's.
This week, we are reviewing the Bumblebee movie prequel number 4. This is the final issue of this, and I'm sure we're all expecting it to lead right into the Bumblebee live-action movie, mm-hmm. which I will tell you right now, it doesn't. I think I treat this whole thing as the Bumblebee movie is a hard reboot, and this is just following the previous continuity of the Bay movies, but we'll see. We have 3 covers here. The first cover is a movie poster, one like we've been getting in the Bond style. It says From Cybertron with Love, and it has Malignus sitting in a chair. He's the little bot that was revealed to be the boss in the last one. We have an eye that I'm not sure who that is supposed to belong to, maybe Blitzwing. And then we have 2 human characters kind of in the middle of the image. And then the other image has basically all the main characters fighting in action scenes. And at the very bottom, we have Bumblebee and Diabla fighting on top of a hammer and sickle, the Soviet Union symbol with a big red star. I mean, that first cover was done by Andrew Griffith and Priscilla Tramontano. Cover B here was done by Fico Osseo. And then cover C is just the line art from cover A, which is just Andrew Griffith. So, Daryl, which one of these strikes your fancy?
Well, I'm going to probably go with Fico's cover, cover B. It's I don't know, something about the poster ones never really did it for me, but I mm-hmm. like the action on Fico's cover.
Yeah, I think the cover A is just a little bit too bare. It's like the background is pretty much a solid yellow thing, and they both have a lot of yellow, obviously, but the action one, I think it's just a lot more dynamic. So yeah, I think I would choose that one as well. All right, into the summary here. It starts where it left off last time with Bumblebee and Agent Lux and Reeves all trapped. They are surrounded, or they're on top of a platform that is over a pit of Sharktacons, and they are surrounded by the Decepticons. Bumblebee is still trying to convince Diabla that she is not just a mindless Decepticon. She fought with him, side by side in some battles, and there's more to her than just this. And as she's starting to try to explain herself, Lux activates something on her watch, and the tracking device that Bumblebee had planted on her, Lux had changed into an explosive device without telling Bumblebee. And there's a huge explosion. Doesn't really do much to the Decepticons, but it blows a hole in the wall and it gives them a chance to escape. So B transforms, humans are inside him, and he actually transforms into an underwater mode. Unfortunately, because of the Sharktacon attacks, he's not nearly as watertight as he used to be, but they're able to escape briefly. And as the Decepticons go back, Malignus activates the giant nuclear missile that's there. So the Soviets will see an intercontinental ballistic missile coming from the UK towards them, and his whole plan to ignite a nuclear war will start. But we see that there is a Sharktacon actually on the missile, and that will come into play in a little bit. Agent Lux is trying to take out Malignus, and as she does that, Agent Reeves runs over to Bumblebee, who's fighting Diabla, and gets B to give him one of the trackers. And he tosses it over to Malignus, where Agent Lux explodes it, and that little bot's gone. And then we see the missile. Diabla is actually attached herself to the missile, or she's gone up to get it, and makes the missile crash back down, and it explodes, and we don't see her body. B is convinced that she's still survived somehow, but he saves the humans, and as they're all in the water, as Blitzwing escapes, he recognizes that a tire that Agents Lux and Reeve are on is one of her tires. So then the last couple pages of the book have B through the ages from the 60s to the present day. He's trying to track down Blitzwing and just missing Blitzwing briefly every time. And then the last page says Bumblebee will return in an actual good movie. We'll see. So that was kind of a rough review, but I thought this whole series was fun. This issue in particular was all action. The art was good. Andrew always does great art. The humans are done good. The bots, I like, even though they're the Bayverse designs, they're done pretty well. And the Sharktacons are Sharktacons. I mean, I'm glad that there wasn't really much design change on the Sharktacons. This was really just like all action just to finish out the series. And like I said before we started, I see this as kind of the Bay movies and this are in one timeline, and Bumblebee, the movie Bumblebee, is a complete reboot, just taking elements of the Bay movies. So Daryl, what do you think this issue and the series as a whole?
Well, it was definitely action-packed, that's for sure. I do think that the art was definitely pretty good in this issue. Andrew definitely stepped up his game. The splash pages were really, really good. The one with Bumblebee holding the two human agents there, jumping in, yeah, away from the explosion was a really good page. So that one looked really nice. The one page near the end, in the present, where Bumblebee's kind of like facing off against Blitzwing again, just reiterated from last week, where I love that Blitzwing design. Really, really like it. And it's too bad that it's, you know, really won't see much more than this, because that looks fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the story altogether, I thought it was okay. You know, there wasn't as much like intrigue as I thought there was going to be. It wasn't as spy, like they put some spies in it, but I don't think there was as much spy stuff. They're just kind of chasing down bad guys.
Yeah.
The fact that it's a Transformers book and the, you know, the first couple pages of issue one, some world leader or whatever gets killed. You know, us as a reader, we're like, I wonder who did it. Probably the Decepticons. You know, it's a Transformers book. You know, they're probably behind it. So, you know, the intrigue level of this spy book was not super high. The art was good. The pacing was good for four issues. I thought it didn't really slow down too much. And, all in all, I thought it was okay.
Cool. Yeah, I do like that. Like, Astro Train had made an appearance in the last issue, and he just kind of bugs out in this issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't mention the creative team here. This is written by John Barber, artist by Andrew Griffith, colors by Priscilla Tramontano, letters by Tom B. Long, editor is David Marriott, and publisher Greg Goldstein. And with the things like Astro Train, John Barber cannot help himself with continuity, even in the Bayverse. You know, he can't let anything happen to Astro Train, because I think he shows up in one of the Bay movies or something for just a second. So
does he?
I Maybe. I don't know. But, I mean, it's kind of weird that he just kind of bugs out and doesn't actually do anything. I can't remember much from the Bane movies. It's a nightmare. But anyway, yeah, these were... It was a fun little mini series, you know, just an alternate, you know, story.
Yeah.
So, and I guess next week we'll probably do that. We still have one of the Bumblebee graphic novels to do. I can't remember what else we have on, you know, on deck to finish up, but won't be too long before we have actual new stories to do.
I'm surprised if the books have lasted this long. Figured we'd be out of them by now.
Yeah. All right. So I guess let's move on to some media news.
All right. In media news this week, a whole bunch more Bumblebee movie stuff came up. So there's some behind the scenes information. There's an interview with Haley Steinfeld. Paramount Pictures declared the Bumblebee movie is profitable. Look at that. Congratulations. It was questionable there for a bit. So,
yeah.
Even though it was rated really well, it just it had some stiff competition. So, good on you.
Thank you, international audience.
Yeah. And most recently, I think the story came out today. We've reported on it before, but Travis Knight has his own studio. It's the stop motion studio. It's called Leica. Yeah. So people were asking if Leica will be doing Transformers stuff with their in stop motion. I mean, kind of fits, right? They're stop motion. Hasbro makes Transformers. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, two peas in a pod, right? Well, according to Travis Knight, Leica won't be doing it, or won't be in the business of Transformers. He's going to keep them separate. So,
well, I mean, it does make sense, I guess. But it would be great if Hasbro contacted them to do commercials, like toy commercials.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Like just the short, you know, 1 minute, 30 second pieces.
Yep,
I think that'd be awesome.
It is pretty cool, though. I mean, the stop motion stuff. I mean, it just seems to work. We've seen like amateurs do amazing work with it. You know, if you know the ideas and the production quality that a professional studio could do would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some interesting news regarding the Transformers trading card game. Wave 2 stuff have started showing up. And one of the most interesting things to come out of the news is they're doing a Rise of the Combiners expansion pack. And that they've been showing off Predaking cards. So these are pretty neat. Apparently the character cards are made up of the individual robots that make up Predaking. But then when you fold them open, they will show a piece of a giant Predaking. And then you can assemble that Predaking and put it on your playing mat. It's pretty cool to kind of see. There's some demo videos out where they show you how it works. The cards fold themselves. You don't have to fold them. Like, they don't automatically fold, but they're pre-scored to fold. It looks really cool, so it'll be interesting to see how this works and if the expansion works quite well and it's a fun, you know, game mechanic. Then I can't imagine we won't see more of this, because there's a bunch of combiners and Transformers, so I'm sure we'll see a ton of this stuff.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how they're going to handle Devastator, because he's the only combiner that's got six pieces instead of five.
Well, I mean, they'll just do six of them. It's all about the star rating, right? So,
yeah, I guess.
Yeah, but no, it's very cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this works out. And
yeah, it's really kind of ingenious how they did it.
Yeah. So if you're looking for any information on that, we've got a link there. Also, I believe the guys over at WTF at TFW have done an interview with them about it. And lastly, I guess we got to officially move into pop culture here. There we go. Now we're in the right place. We have a new commercial from Walmart featuring some really famous TV and movie cars. And this was a really fun one to watch because you get to see all these really cool vehicles like the DeLorean, the Ghostbusters mobile, Ecto-1, and others. I can't remember off the top. It's been a couple days since I watched it. Oh, there's Kit.
You got Kit.
Yeah. Lightning McQueen. The Mystery Machine from Scooby-Doo. Fred Flintstone's mobile. And then near the end of the commercial, you get Bumblebee from the new Bumblebee movie in his Volkswagen design. So that's very cool to be included in this commercial. It's a very fun commercial. The full version, I believe, is a minute and a half, and it's very neat. So take a look at that. It's one of those things. If you're like me and you're into like the famous movie cars or TV cars, the stuff that is where the cars are kind of almost as famous as the characters on the show, then you'll probably really like this.
Or some of them, the cars are characters in the show, like Kid or Lightning McQueen.
Exactly. So take a look at this.
It's really neat because like they incorporated a lot of things. Like Slimer makes an appearance with the Ghostbusters with Ecto-1. You have Kit, you know, calling a guy Michael, and he's like, "My name's not Michael." It's really just kind of hits all those pop culture, you know, good feelings.
Yep, it's a great commercial. So well done, Walmart, for getting this thing done. It would have probably taken a lot of time to assemble all these vehicles.
Well, yeah, and I'm wondering like how the right stuff, you know, how do they work out all the rights for all these various things? You have the Batmobile from the Nolan movies in there.
You know, and I bet you because they're Walmart and they sell all the products, they're like, look, we're going to use this and you're going to be fine with it.
Well, and they're advertising like their thing where you can order online and pick it up.
Yep.
Just, you know, so it's not like they were trying to sell any of these particular brands for the brands.
Yep.
So it's just a fun video.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that's it for pop culture.
All right. Well, let's move on to convention news. And only one thing here, and we actually mentioned it in the main transmission show too, but he worked in some of the animation stuff too in development. So we'll mention it here too. Eric Siebenhaler is going to be attending TFCon Los Angeles 2019. He worked at Hasbro for many years. I believe I said he worked on the brand team from like 2002 to 2010 for Transformers. He was heavily involved in Transformers Animated, but he worked on movie stuff and like the Armada Energon Cybertron series. So check him out. I'm sure he'll have some great panels talking about toy design and just character design in general. So that is it for convention news.
Right on. And so, we will move on to feedback then. Let's close it up.
All right. We have one piece of feedback from John, our recent Donatrion, that Yoshi asked for more information about him. So he sent that in. And unfortunately, Yoshi isn't here, so sorry about that. But John says that he's a 40-year-old truck driver from Cheyenne, Wyoming. He's been driving his truck for about 3 years, but part of the decision to do that was that he loves Transformers and Optimus Prime in particular. He has two boys that are 20 and 18, and his Transformer tattoos are older than his youngest kid. He volunteers at the Denver Pop Culture Convention for the last couple of years. And he also donates to the TFU.info podcast, which is cool. I do too. And he has a no longer updated YouTube channel, but he wants to thank us for the podcast because it helps cut down the long hours on the road. So that's awesome. And I'm sorry that this is going to be a shorter show because there's just the two of us, but we do have some very long shows in our backlog.
We're the best two.
Yeah. So thanks so much for commenting, and hopefully you make it out to a convention that we're going to be at. It'd be great to meet you, and you know, glad that we're able to help pass the time as you're driving across the country.
Damn right.
So that is all the feedback we got.
All right. And that, with that, it'll bring us to the end of the show. And Charles has written the ending credits here so confusingly. So you can donate to us via Patreon or PayPal to www.transmissionspodcast.com/support. Please subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Podcast or Google Podcasts. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We also have a Discord server, and you can check that out. You can find it on our website, or you can just find it. I don't know where else you could find it.
Transmissionspodcast.com/Discord.
Discord. There you go. Hey. And
I think Yoshi actually says a lot of this in the
likely intro. But send us feedback if you want, because we like getting the feedback and we put it on the show, and there's a really easy way to do it. You can go to feedback and send us an email directly at feedback@transmissionspodcast.com, or you can go to the website. Again, it's transmissionspodcast.com/feedback, and there you can write something in, or you can use the widget to record something and send it to us directly. We like getting those. Those are fun. We get to hear your voice, and we'll put that up on the show if you want us to. I mean, we'd want to because it's easier for us, but, you know, if you don't want us to, we won't. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's all for me. I've had a fun time here getting this done without the ball and chains that are Yoshi and Charles. Those guys, they drag us down, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Thanks, you guys, for joining us. This has been a blast. We will talk to you again next week. Talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Transmissions Podcast is recorded before a live studio audience.